Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review Star Trek vs. Transformers Issue 3. We do a spoiler-free discussion of the new Bumblebee movie, and did Lost Light go away a lot harder than it needed to? Today is Friday, December 14th, 2018, and this is episode 107 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that's trapped in a hive of Bumblebee movie buzz. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Yusuf, better known as Yoshi.
Yo, buzz. Yo.
Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how you doing?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian beast.
Hey, how you doing? Let's talk Transformers.
Where the fuck did you become the man with a million voices?
You don't know me.
I don't know you.
We've only been doing this 5 years. It's okay.
I should know everything about everyone by now.
Buzz.
All right. Thank you again for joining us. We, as always, start off by thanking our Donatrions, the beautiful people who give us money to put this show on. You guys are awesome. Although we don't have any new ones joining the ranks this week, so just thanks to all the people who always give us money. We appreciate you. Also, we want to let you know that our Best of 2018 survey is live and has been live for a few days now. So if you haven't voted, you want to let us know what you thought were the best Transformers comics and toys of this year, 2018. Put them in the survey and we'll collect the results. This is always it's always fun to see what the fandom thinks at the end of the year. So if you want your voice to be heard, gotta vote.
Plus, it was a lot of work.
Yoshi, I didn't think it was a lot of work.
You know what? It seemed to go by so fast.
Yeah, Daryl and I do the whole survey. Actually, Daryl does most of it because he does all the toys.
Yeah. I have suggested ways to make the process more efficient, and I was shot down.
Well, you don't own a commanding control of the company anymore.
Your way is less time spread out over more time. Mine is just...
All I'm saying is save the images as we do the shows, so you don't have to do it all at the end of the year.
Yeah, and that's a lot of remembering over the course of a 365-day year. This is just
maybe it'll become
just
a habit.
A really intensified day, two and a half days of image searching, over that time, and it takes it hurts a little, but I get through it.
Okay, I think we're here to talk about Transformers comics and media. Let's table this discussion and move on. Although before we do that, I will mention our merch store, transmissionspodcast.com/shop. Although the sale is over at this point, I think. So sorry about that. But you can still get t-shirts at
Christmas
our shop.
Gifts.
Don't apologize. We've been telling them about the sale for weeks. They haven't shopped yet. It's their fault.
Yes, insult the listener as much as you can, Daryl.
You should have shopped. But go ahead and shop more.
Daryl's views do not reflect those of the Transmissions podcast.
All right, let's get into some comics news. So first up, there is a kid's book that has a new listing on Amazon. It says it's called Transformers Give Your Old Stuff the Reboot. And I guess this is a book to teach kids about recycling or something, maybe. Interesting turn of phrase there. And it's got a picture of Evergreen Bumblebee on there. So
it's like how to transform things like Kool-Aid into paint, like expired Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid expires?
Make go-karts.
Is this Kool-Aid from like 10 years ago?
It's obviously Kool-Aid from the 1980s.
Apparently.
So it's that Kool-Aid with lead.
About Kool-Aid the powder, right? That doesn't.
Yeah.
That stuff doesn't expire.
Oh, honey. Oh, jeez.
I got packets of it back in the cupboard there. They've been there for years. That stuff's...
Well, yours probably has codeine in it, too. Well,
we got codeine in everything.
All right. So, yeah, if you have a little a kid who's into recycling, maybe this book is for them. It'll be out March 26th, 2019.
Every kid's favorite activity.
Grade level 1 to 4. Next, I wanted to highlight this article I saw people posting on Facebook. It's from the Unwinnable online magazine. And it's an article about the Transformers Lost Light series more Than Meets the Eye series and celebrating the heights that the IDW comics got to. So it was an interesting article. I like the title. It says Transformers Lost Light went way harder than it needed to, contrasting the fact that we got pretty deep, I guess, sci-fi epics out of Transformers comics, which... you know, the impression that most people have of Transformers is that it's basically a throwaway toy commercial, but we all know that Transformers gets deeper than that. So it's good to see that celebrated and appreciated here. So check out that article. One thing I did notice in the article, it does mention all the writers in the current IDW storyline, John Barber, James Roberts, and Nick Roche, but they left out Margaret Scott. So that was kind of a bit of an oversight because I think she contributed a lot. Well, they left them out completely.
Oh, of course. Why not? They don't do anything. Lazy artists don't do nothing for nobody.
Yeah. So I feel like that's a big oversight, but still a good article.
I'd like to read the article that says Transformers Lost Light went too hard.
You can write that article, Terrell.
Nah.
All right, let's move on and get into our comic review.
All right, we are doing Star Trek versus Transformers number 3 this week. This is written by John Barber and Mike Johnson. Art is by Jack Lawrence. Colors by Josh Burcham. Letters by Krista Meissner. Editor is Chase Marotz and David Mariette. And publisher is Greg Goldstein. So I'm assuming that... like Krista does the letters for Star Trek usually. It's odd every time I have to edit my template and take out Tom B. Long's name and put someone else's in there. We have 3 covers this week. Cover A has Soundwave and his tapes attacking the Enterprise crew with a nice little G1 type grid in the back. Cover B shows Megatron aiming his fusion cannon at Kirk, Spock, and Uhura. Oh, sorry. And cover A was done by Philip Murphy. And this cover B is done by Gavin Fullerton. And cover C, or the RI cover, has the ladies of the crossover. It has Windblade, RC, Uhura, Imres, and is that Nurse Chapel?
Yes, I believe so.
And this is by Megan Levins and Charlie Kirchhoff. So, Charles, I'll start with you. Which one of these 3 do you like?
I think they're all kind of fun covers, but I'm going to go with cover B, the Megatron one. I like the way that stylized art there by Gavin Fullerton.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of the scene from Transformers the movie where Megatron blasts Ironhide.
I would think Kirk would fare even worse than Ironhide.
Probably.
All right, Yoshi, how about
you? I'm going to go cover A because it's the best cover.
All right. You want to elaborate on that or just it's the best?
It just looks it looks like a perfect mesh of the Star Trek cartoon and the Transformers cartoon. It feels retro. It feels mm-hmm. like a comic I would have enjoyed reading.
All right. Daryl, how about you?
I am torn. If you remember back on trips to the store, I bought covers A and B. And I like them both. But I think when it comes right down to it, I probably would go with cover A as my favorite. I do agree with Yoshi. I like the retro aspect of cover A. The grid aspect throws a lot into it. I like how the grid also encompasses the little mountain that they've got sitting beside them there, as well as the floor they're standing on. Makes me kind of think that they're in a holodeck of some kind. But, you know, it's probably just to emphasize the Transformer aspect and the grid aspect of their, you know, whatever. But it still makes me think of, you know, Holodeck and whatnot. I also want to point out Frenzy Rumble, Frumble, whatever you want to call him. His crotchular area is like almost, you know, 90 degrees to his, you know, torso, which is an interesting way of standing.
They probably looked at one of those toys that can do a hip thrust.
But so that's an interesting stance for him. But it's a good cover though. I like it. Soundwave's a very cool character, and I always like it when they get him in a cool pose.
All right, cool. Well, I will agree with Yoshi and Daryl. I think cover A is the best cover. And I thought the grid lines kind of reminded me of Tron, like in mountain and stuff. If you think back to like Tron Legacy. But let's move on. The story is titled Prime's Directive. It starts off with Optimus Prime. He's wounded and the other Autobots are trapped as Starscream, Soundwave, and Arachnid surround them. The humans' phasers don't do anything against the Decepticons, and Optimus insists on protecting the humans while Dr. McCoy protests. However, when the Decepticons start to fire, Prime uses his body to shield the miners from Arachnid's blasts. Inside the mine, Ratchet finishes the adjustments on Fortress Maximus so that Captain Kirk can interface with it. Merging with the Titan's mind, Kirk sees glimpses of Cybertron and the Great War, as well as flashes from his own past. Ratchet and the other Autobots watch as Kirk focuses on the Starship Enterprise, which he knows every millimeter of. And Ratchet then goes into the next part of his plan and uses these schematics that Kirk has generated to transform Fortress Maximus into a giant version of the Starship. On the surface, Starscream is gloating in his victory and then demands that Prime face him or be destroyed. Prime offers to sacrifice himself, but Spock has already calculated the option and goes in front of Starscream instead to surrender. The Klingon commander, Curry, beams in and tells Spock that and Spock tells them that they'll surrender as long as the Federation miners can leave. Starscream thinks that his bargaining posture is dubious, but then the ground shakes and the Enterprise bursts out of it. But it's not really the Enterprise, it's Fortress Maximus in the form of the Enterprise. The other Autobots and the Enterprise crew that was trapped with them follow through the hole created by the Enterprise's escape to join the fight. Not to be outdone, the Klingons have a surprise of their own as their warbird transforms into Triptychon and starts blasting the Autobots. Inside Fortress Maximus, Ratchet helps Kirk as he's using a headset to control the Titan. The Fortress Enterprise blasts Triptychon as the other Autobots fight on. Reinforcements arrive for the Decepticons and Klingons as Megatron and more Klingons appear. Megatron surprises Optimus and shoots him in the back, and the Klingons are about to shoot the Federation miners, but then Kirk flies in and beams them aboard. Ratchet then tells Kirk to reveal his other surprise, and Fortress Maximus begins to transform, and as everyone looks on, the Enterprise becomes Fortress Tiberius. And I believe it is to be continued, or is the next issue the last one, or the next to the last one?
There's two more. It's a 5-issue miniseries.
Two more. All right. So that is the story. We are at the point of the crossover where the action has pretty much reached its peak. Charles, you're probably the biggest Trek guy on our show. What do you think about Fortress Tiberius?
Well, I mean, Yoshi might disagree with that statement, but I thought it was fun. I mean, it was weird seeing the Enterprise transform into Fortress Maximus or Fortress Tiberius, I should say. It did it better than Triptychon transforming into the Klingon warbird, I have to say.
You really saw none of the warbird in Triptychon's mode after he transformed, but
yeah.
When the Enterprise transforms, it looks like the Enterprise as a robot. Mm-hmm.
The art is pretty good. Jack Lawrence did a good job here. I mean, this is the first we've seen of Jack Lawrence separate from Lost Light. So here he's doing a very G1-esque style with the Star Trek cartoon style. It works pretty well. I mean, compared to Philip Murphy's art in the last two issues, it looks pretty good. It's different. It's significantly different from Philip Murphy's style, but I like it. And
yeah, I thought it was it was a good match for both shows.
Yeah, and I thought the story was I'm still not, it's the this crossover is neither a high nor a low for me, so it's kind of just petering along and you know, doing what I pretty much expect. So
mm-hmm.
as the story is pretty, I would say, in line with the crossover formula. So
right, it's a kind of by the numbers. Yeah. Thing.
I'm a little surprised that they didn't. I would have expected Kirk to be put in like a headmaster suit or something. If he's, but
yeah, that might have made more sense. But they were short on time. All right, Yoshi, as probably the biggest Trek fan on our podcast,
I agree with that statement.
What do you think of Fortress Tiberius and the crossover so far?
I think Fortress Tiberius looks like fucking amazing. I am so in love with this, and this is a first appearance, and all I thought when I saw this is Daryl's got to love this too. I will go back to my comic book store to see if they have any copies left to buy it just for that page.
Wow.
Now, careful, I don't have a lot of good things to say here, gentlemen.
Would you buy a toy of
fucking in a heartbeat, dude? In a goddamn heartbeat. I am going to echo Charles. I think we found
Jack Lawrence.
We found Jack Lawrence's sweet spot. We found where his art excels. This is what he's strong with. It is a beautiful book visually, from first page to the last page. He is consistent. This style is what he's comfortable with, and it shows. Josh Burcham really fucking went way overboard with the textures in the background. So many of the backgrounds are so identical. That part I really hated. I it was just an abuse of textures. Who the fuck is this book geared for, guys? Who is IDW writing this for?
People with money.
I mean,
people that want a Transformer book to buy.
As far as I can tell, there has never been a Star Trek comic book based on the cartoon. Okay, right. So most of the covers they have released for this are extremely misleading, in my opinion, with the exclusion of Windblade and Arachnid, and it feels like it is marketed for us G1 lovers and old school Star Trek fans. And then you open it up and there are elements that are not G1 in here, and it pisses me off to no end. It's a bullshit thing that they pulled, and I it is an unforgivable sin. Who wrote this piece of shit?
John Barber.
And that explains why Optimus Prime's a giant fucking pussy in this as well. He just got off 25 issues of Optimus Prime making him a nutless bastard, and he's continued it in here.
Okay, so he covers up humans to take a blast.
He does nothing to the save whole them. Fucking book except that. He does that one thing that lasts, what, 3 panels? Yeah, I mean, I don't know what happened in the previous issue, and I vaguely remember the first issue, but this is a whole lot of Optimus Prime doing absolutely nothing. I mean, Barber's got fucking 2 seasons of a G1 cartoon to refer to and 80 issues of a Marvel comic book that explain how to fucking write this character, and he can't fucking do it to save his life. I don't understand what's with this fucking pussy version of Prime he keeps dishing out to us. And RC feels completely out of place. This is not her G1 attitude at all.
RC, yeah, it is kind of a melding of the cartoon and the comic. Because I don't think in the cartoon she ever had a sword.
And the way these IDW miniseries story arcs works is that there's enough bullshit going on that they could have definitely worked in a whole fucking Micromaster or Headmaster or something into Kirk and the Enterprise. And it's just being lazy. They've got a formula and they just plugged it into this. Fucking, I can't believe I'm saying it, but Jack Lawrence, you're the reason why I'm buying this book based solely on one fucking panel, and it's the last page. I'm done.
All right. Daryl.
Yeah.
What did you think of the design of Fortress Tiberius?
I thought it was fun. I will agree with Yoshi on one thing, that I too believe that this is Jack Lawrence's strong suit, drawing the animated characters. I thought the book was done very well as far as the art from start to finish. As other books go, I mean, textures don't bother me anything. Go nuts with the textures, Josh. I don't give a shit. With regards to the story, Prime's hurt, so he's not doing a whole hell of a lot. I mean, I did see a little bit of, like, you know, I found myself saying, like, really? When he got connected to the computer by Ratchet, like, Kirk got connected to the computer with Ratchet and gave up the specs to the, you know, the Enterprise, like, I don't care if you've been on the ship for 20, 30, 40 years, you don't have the design specs in your head. You know, you might know it very well.
Yeah, that was a little bit too far, I think. But they had, I think it's Sulu saying that Kirk knows every rivet right. And fuse.
If there's a
and
fucking
also,
rivet,
I don't think they would be using fuses.
If you've got rivets on the Enterprise, you're in trouble.
This is the future.
With him controlling, I mean, controlling it with his mind, being in a headmaster suit, it's essentially the same thing. They could have put him in a headmaster suit. It wouldn't have been that big of an issue. I have to say, I agree that the Klingon ship turning into Trypticon was almost missed on me because of how little it looked like the Klingon ship. It was all Trypticon. And just a couple things.
Yeah, it was one panel of on over the Warbird, and then the next panel you see him. It's essentially
right.
Trypticon.
So, it was. I mean, I don't know. It's a fun book. I expected this book to be like the whole series. I expect it to be like a goofy, you know, crossover where it matters very little what the outcome is. The story is kind of fun and goofy, but it means nothing in the long run. So it's just a fun little story. Who cares what happens? I like the art. I'm an art first guy, so Jack did a good job with this. And seeing the Enterprise as a Titan class figure, that would be kind of cool, kind of neat. But I don't know. It's just a goofy book.
Yeah. Well, we've definitely seen worse. I mean, this is no Avengers crossover. So at least they're making progress there. So, yeah. All right. Well, that is our comic review.
All right. Well, let's move on to Transformers Media News.
All right. In Media News this week, Transformers Earth Wars is doing some in-game compensation for raid battles. So, might win some stuff.
I think there was some glitch or something last week, and they're giving people free in-game currency because to make it up to them.
Ah,
to people
who
had
problems. Game's starting to glitch out. It's the beginning of the end for Earth Wars.
Probably not.
We've got a new clip for Saturday Transformers Rescue Bots Academy. It's a preview promotional clip. Take a look at that. I don't believe the show has started yet, but it's coming out. Transformers Cyberverse Episode 14 is now available on the Hasbro YouTube channel. Again, we say it every time, it's region locked, so if you're outside of the US, don't expect to be able to watch it. Also, we have a shit ton of stuff for the Bumblebee movie. It did a early screening. Jeremy and Charles went to see it, and a whole bunch of marketing stuff dropped. So I'm not going to go through it all, but needless to say, if you are interested in any of the new commercials or ads or featurettes or cast interviews, we've got all of them listed here that came out. A couple spoiler reviews. Really interesting to see that after the first day, it's sitting at a 100% positive on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm very curiously looking at it, thinking that it's a lot of just fans that are submitting their reviews right now. So
these are actual real critics.
What? That's impossible.
Would you like me to read a couple of these, like, quotes?
That are not spoilery? Go ahead.
IGN Movies, Jim... I can't pronounce the last name. It was nice to enjoy a Transformers movie again. 7 out of 10.
That's not 100%.
Let's see. Well, it's not, but... Justin Chang, Los Angeles Time. Bumblebee, for its part, has just enough wit, playfulness, and charm to develop a voice of its own, which is no small thing in the context of a flashy, lunk-headed studio franchise. I'm seeing a lot of these are like 4 out of 5, a B+. So
these are not 100%, Jeremy.
Yeah, I was watching something earlier today that had all the older Transformers movies. To be rated fresh, you have to, I think, have 60%. The only one that came close was the 2007 movie, which was like at 58.
Yeah.
Everything else was like in the teens.
Yeah, they're
so
bad.
Whatever this settles at, it's going to blow them away.
It's been very interesting to watch as far as somebody who's not seen it yet. So I've been interested to see everyone's kind of early reactions, delicately trying to stay away from spoilers. So... that's going to be difficult, seeing as it doesn't come out for another 12 days for me as of this recording. It'll be interesting to see, what happens for myself. But, so far it's, very positive. Now, Jeremy and Charles, do you guys want to give your non-spoiler reactions to this movie?
Sure. You want to go first, Jeremy, or you want me to go first?
You can go first. I've been talking.
All right.
You're so polite.
I'm like on almost Canadian.
No.
Really, really fun, really enjoyable movie. Total 180 from what you expect from the Bay Transformers movie, and really pleasantly surprised. I think this is, I think the consensus is that it's the best Transformers movie other than the 86 animated movie. It had the Transformers were the main characters. They were not the background props. They did stuff. They had conversations. They interacted with themselves and with the humans. They had fight scenes that were really well choreographed. You could actually see the body parts of the bots fighting each other, and so it wasn't just a blur of gray. You had a sizable chunk set on Cybertron, all in animated CG, and that was very they jumped to that right away, so that was really a nice way to kick off the movie. Just really, really fun and really good. And the interaction, like the core characters, Charlie and Bumblebee, I think they really carried the movie. And I was impressed, and I am a Travis Knight fan now. I will I think I hope this movie does well so that they give him a chance to direct another Transformers movie. Yeah, super impressed by Travis Knight.
Let's hope he wants to direct another Transformers movie.
I'm thinking he's not opposed to buckets of money or dump trucks of money.
What do you think, Jeremy?
It was definitely the best live-action Transformers movie I've seen. I thought that Haley Steinfeld did a great job because essentially, Charles, you said that she and Bumblebee carried the movie. Really, she carried the movie because Bumblebee was... for the most part, not even there while she was doing the acting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the CGI, as always with these movies, the CGI was really good. And so they looked like they were physically there. But she did a great job carrying basically the entire movie, talking to herself. And since, Bumblebee doesn't really talk, she was having to kind of relate to the screen, what he was wanting, although they did do a great job with Bumblebee emoting. You see in the posters and stuff, he has these bright blue eyes, and that really is effective just using the eyes and the little flaps on the top of his head in kind of displaying emotion. And that really came through good. After seeing the Cybertron scenes, I looked over at my wife and I was like, I could leave right now, and I have seen what I've wanted to see on the big screen my entire life. I want to see an entire movie, you know, extended version of that, because that was done so well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure in a few weeks, once it's out, we'll get into voice actors and stuff that were in it, but everything was on point. Everyone sounded the way you were supposed to sound. Sound effects were the way they were supposed to sound. It was fantastic. John Cena, he plays a great John Cena, but it fit for this movie, that character.
Hmm.
I mean, if you've seen a John Cena movie, you know he plays John Cena. That's just his range is John Cena. And the CGI work they did so you could actually see him on screen was fantastic. Because, you know, you can't see John Cena. That's the joke. But it's funnier when you have to explain it.
I'm glad you explained that joke.
So
we don't have a laugh track here, Jeremy. Oh, I guess you could put one on your soundboard.
There. Yeah, I need a laugh track. But it was, even if it's not a Transformers fan going to it, it's a good movie. It brought back so many feelings of like those 80s movies that you would go to, like Short Circuit, you know, stuff like that, where it's like person encounters robot and befriends robot and has to figure out, you know, whatever problem. It was very formulaic, very simple in the plot structure, but it was done so well. There was so much heart in the movie. It's just, I'm going to see it at least one or two more times. It was great.
Cool.
Yeah, a lot of the reviews compared it to the Iron Giant, and I think that's a really good comparison.
I have not seen that. That's on my list.
That's a good movie. You should see that.
Pretty good company to keep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I don't know if you guys have seen Kubo and the Two Strings with Travis Knight, but same, like, really a lot of heart in that story, too. Travis Knight has won me over completely. I want him to just take control over the franchise movie-wise.
And I do remember, like, when last year when they were talking about how they had the whole Transformers writer's room thing, one of their ideas was a, like, background origin story all set on Cybertron. So if that's still kicking around somewhere, see what Travis Knight can do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a whole movie set on Cybertron, all in CG.
I think what really worked is he came from animation,
mm-hmm.
and these are essentially animated movies.
Right.
I mean, they have some live action actors, but he's used to treating these characters as characters, and it came through. Like you said, the Transformers actually had stuff to do. It was a very small cast, as we've mentioned before. Every Transformer has their own color scheme, so you know if it's, you know, Bumblebee or Dropkick or Shatter or Star Blitz or whatever. You can tell who they are in the fight scenes because they're well choreographed and everyone has their own color scheme.
Yeah. So,
awesome.
Travis Knight is a you can tell he knows what Transformers are going into this.
Well, Yoshi, I don't know about you, man, but I want to see this movie now.
I just went on mute and I wasn't on mute. My response, Daryl, was it's kind of in our job description.
Yeah, but this time I want to see it.
Oh. Well, I hope I come out of it feeling as jazzed as these two are, because that would be a welcome change.
Awesome.
Yep.
If you do, the internet will be buzzing.
Right.
And with that, that's the end of media news.
All right. Well, that takes us to the end of the show, because we don't have any convention news or feedback this week. So if you do want to leave us feedback, go to transmissionspodcast.com/feedback. Leave us a text comment or leave us a voicemail and we'll play them on the show if you have a question. Or you can just leave comments on the episodes. Contact us on social.
Or if you've seen Bumblebee and you want to give your thoughts.
Yep. Try to avoid the movie. Try to avoid spoilers, though, because, yeah, you know, most people still have to wait 2 weeks. So.
We have a section on our Discord where people can talk openly about that. And those of us who don't want to be spoiled, just stay out of that particular chat room.
Yep. It's even in the name. In the name of the chat room, you can tell. It says spoiler, so you know that's what...
Yes, and I added to the description of it that Bumblebee movie spoilers will be in there.
All right, well, that'll do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Yoshi out!
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Recording.
Jesus.
Now recording.
Do-do-do.
You speak like John Cena. Fucking goddamn it. You need to set up Craig that he can respond to personal attacks of abuse.
I don't program Craig.
Craig programs you in the Soviet Union.
This is not Soviet Russia.
I don't know. Generic Canadian insult. That's what Yoshi... I'm just repeating what Yoshi said. I don't know what it means either, but that's what he said.
I don't know if you think about what you say before you say it.
Never.
Oh, all right. Here we go.
Muster all your enthusiasm, gentlemen. We got to make a show sound preppy and like it was filmed in the morning.
Preppy or peppy?
That too. I don't think before I speak, Daryl. We've gone over this.
Think. Put it through.
I done just, not thunk so good today.
Just put it through one filter.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that's trapped in a hive of Bumblebee movie buzz. Oh, I'm your host. Terrible.
Buzz.
I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C. I'm going to start all over.
No,
all right.
Oh, it was perfect. It was perfect. Damn it.
All right. Well, okay, Mike, you take it from here.
Waspinator is so excited about the Bumblebee movie. Because Waspinator comes after Bumblebee.
Oh, God. I'm going to hit stop now.